The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of The Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike, brought to you by Palm Beach Atlantic University, Orlando. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Hey, friends, and welcome to our program, Afternoons with Mike. It's a joy to have Commissioner Christine Moore on the line. Welcome to my program.
Oh, thank you. It's great to be with you today.
You know, this is exciting. While we've never met face-to-face, I have seen your face on so many publications. You are one of the people serving in politics that really, I believe, you do an exceptional job of communicating with those in your area, because I live in your district, and we see oft times your communiques as they go out, and they're always warm, personal, and they're very friendly. And I just want to say thank you. And it's great to talk to a public servant that takes what they do for their public very seriously. You do that.
Thank you. No, I certainly enjoy the work, but it is service. And as a Christian, you know, we talk about in the New Testament about loving the Lord God and loving our neighbor as ourselves. And I don't think I've ever had a position where that really is what I do every day, all day. And so it's really been a blessing to get to serve in this capacity.
Well, I think it would be so helpful for people who know you and have known the name, at least if they don't know you, to know a little bit about your background. Tell us where you grew up, about your family, how you came to know the Lord.
Well, I was born in Minnesota to very, very young parents. They were 17 and 18. And ultimately, I moved to the state of New York. My father was a musician. But my parents got divorced. And even though that happened, I still sort of stayed with the music, which was my father's side. But my mom loved politics and you know, read newspapers, shared things. And even today, it's just a joy to call her and talk about national politics with someone. And so I went off to the University of Michigan to study flute. And I think it was probably at that time that I started realizing I went to church and I loved playing flute in the Lutheran church growing up, but I didn't really know the Lord, you know, in a personal way. And then I chose to move to Florida to study flute with a world-renowned flautist, Jeffrey Gilbert, who lived at that time. He's since passed on in DeLand. And I think when I got down here, I was just always so ambitious to play the flute and excel, and I went to a good college, but then all of a sudden I was so far away from home and I was really by myself, and I realized that I was worshiping the flute. You know, I was following music. And I think it was at that point I met some friends who took me to Calvary, the old Calvary Assembly, and that's where I got saved, walked down the aisle. And I remember at the time saying, if I have to give up flute or if I have to give up this. And that happened many times in my life where something tragic would happen. And I think that's where the Lord always brings you through. If you are willing to give up everything for Him, He just always seems to manage to give us more after that effect than we can even imagine or think.
I agree completely. Who was the person that was leading the church during the time that you were at Calvary?
You know who it was? It was Alex Klattenberg.
Alex Klattenberg. All right. I thought so. I know Alex. He's been on my program. And Alex, Danny Jones, do you know that name?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Danny and I were pastors together at Metro Life Church. That's what drew me here. So I've known Alex Klattenberg, and boy, has the ministry of Calvary ever impacted my life in more ways than I could ever tell you. So I get
absolutely.
It.
You know, and his new church is over by Rosemont. I was actually over that way today. But ultimately, I ended up over leading the orchestra, hiring the musicians for Benny Hinn for a number of years as well.
Is that right?
I did for quite a while, but then when I had my second child, that became a little difficult because he had very long healing services, and I really couldn't do that as a young mother. So that was pretty much the end of it over there for me. But I enjoyed every little bit of it.
Well, tell us a little bit about the flute. What made you love that instrument so much?
Well, I guess I'm not, you know, when you want to worship the Lord and you're not the best singer, and I can sing, I have good pitch, but my voice doesn't do what I can do on that instrument. So I think I can just remember, and I don't get to do that much anymore with being the commissioner, but I can just remember sitting in my music room and just playing songs for the Lord, loving to put on CDs and ad-lib over it and just playing by the hour.
Oh, I love it. You know, when I went to Gainesville in 2002, I left Orlando, and I was a worship pastor for years and years, and went to Gainesville, our church that had been in operation for about 5 years. They didn't have a lot of musicians up there, but they had a lady that was an outstanding flautist. And so for the first time, I had a very strong lead instrument that was not a guitar. It was a flute, and it was wonderful. So I played acoustic, and she would do a lot of our intros and lines in between chorus and verses. And she was just a killer. So I would love sometime to jam with you. We got to do that. That would be an outstanding thing.
I would love to do that. I actually haven't been playing that much lately, and I broke my wrist, right? That's a funny story. Right before the election, and I fell, and I was on my way to the Apopka Wekiva football game, and I guess my feet weren't going as fast as I wanted to go. So I ended up in the emergency room, and I'm listening to the game on the phone. I mean, I just could never miss, you know, that Apopka Wekiva game at the end of the year.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I wasn't able to play for different times, you know. But I think that musical background really helps us to have that personal relationship with the Lord, because it really comes when we're in that time of worship.
I can't think of anything that I love more than just the gifting that God has given, and to be able to use it for, like you said, for the Lord. It is such a wonderful thing, and that's just a wonderful story. If you've just tuned in, I'm talking to Commissioner Christine Moore, and she serves a big area in Orange County, Apopka, Ocoee, Lockhart. I live in the near Lockhart area myself, Tangerine, Zellwood, and portions of Pine Hills. So that's a good chunk of the populace that would be on the northwest side of Orlando, where you serve and as vice mayor and commissioner. First of all, I would just like to say thank you for what you're doing. And I love that description. Every day you're helping other people, thinking more highly of them than you do yourself. And that's really loving your neighbor as you love yourself. That is what you said that you're doing, and that is well said. This has been a difficult time, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. You know, it was very tough for me at church because of, you know, the county was responsible for public health. And, of course, we hire the emergency managers. And if there's a hurricane, you know, you look to the county. Are they getting the generators out there to keep the traffic lights going, removing all of the storm debris? I mean, everything you can think of during a natural disaster really, really comes through the county. And so it was a little hard. I'd go back to church and nobody wanted to wear a mask. And here I'm the commissioner. So this last year, trying to keep people safe and deal with mm-hmm. the differences in politics, it was challenging. It really was.
Now, so as you were coming out of some of these restrictions, and there are good signs, even with looking at all the stats with COVID and the rates of sickness and those cases in the hospital, all of that being kind of pointing in the right direction. Are you happy with where we are with the decisions that the governor really recently made? Are you pleased with all of those?
Well, you know, it's a tough thing. I support a lot of what he does, but I'm also a local government person. And, you know, as a Christian, how I look at governing is more jurisdictional. Obviously, we get saved as individuals, and then there's family government, church government, local government, state, and federal. And so I have some concerns today that there are a lot of folks in office who continually, I mean, you can do it, but is it the right thing to start governing in another jurisdiction? You know, just like I don't want the federal government ruling my family and ruling me because I have my individual freedoms and rights under God, I don't really like when the state comes in and takes away mm-hmm. local government function. So again, you know, but I think as we're adults, it's not all good or all bad, right? I mean, there are certain things I absolutely love what Governor DeSantis does. And in fact, I've invited him down next month for a groundbreaking for our first neighborhood that's converting from septic to sewer and our efforts to, you know, be good stewards of the Wekiva River and our water supply. Mm-hmm. And so I am going to have Mayor Demings there, and your listeners might know they've had some differences of opinion on things lately. But I can tell you, we can all be there because we're celebrating. We're all on the same page with protecting the environment and our neighborhood and these folks' investments in their homes. It's the largest investment they'll ever have. And so it's great. We're all going to be there together celebrating.
Well, that's wonderful to see a bit of a peacemaking attempt on your part there. And that is so true. We're all, I believe, getting a good glimpse at what you're talking about, the difference in governments and governances with regard to not having a centralized. I think if you listen to the United States news media, you would think that what comes out of the White House is the most local thing that could ever happen. And they fail, I believe, at least this is my opinion, they fail often to talk about the importance, not only at state level that governors would have over states, but that, like you said, with local communities and commissioners in those communities, such as yourself, the role that you play. And that's really where the rubber hits the road, isn't it?
It is, but even at times when I love working with my neighborhoods, and I have a group of neighborhood leaders, and we get together quarterly, one segment online, the other we meet for dinner and develop our relationships, because I think anybody who heads up an HOA is an unsung hero. They aren't paid. The only time they hear from people is when somebody's upset with something,
that
decision
is so true.
They've made.
Yeah.
And so I just try to encourage them. And so they'll ask me certain things. I go, well, that's your decision because that's your neighborhood. I do, I mean, I could look at it my particular way, but I'm always cautious that I'm there to encourage them, tell them what tools government has. I'm there to empower them, but I'm not there to do it for them, mm-hmm. and I'm not there to tell them how to do it.
What area do you think, Christine, as you are talking about these kinds of issues, the populace, what could they do? What area could they improve the most in when it comes down to understanding the way our county government and our city governments should be working together? What could help our citizens the most right now?
Well, first of all, forgive themselves that they don't know because it is a little bit complicated. And since I've been down here, I have to figure out which road is governed by the city of Apopka or Ocoee, which is governed by me. And then the intersection could be different. Then we have state government. So I would say avail themselves of some tools. And of course, you know, call and ask. Sometimes we get folks who are upset and they're angry, but I always recommend ask the question first, you know, that'll come across better because my staff are always here to help people. But there's some tools. I would recommend some tools. There's two free apps that we have. Orange County government has. One is the Atlas, and that can tell you if you're in the city or the county, and that gives you an idea who you might have to call or if you're having a problem with your trash and those sorts of things. As we are local, we are closest to the people. So a lot of people, when I run for office, had no idea what a county commissioner did. So I would tell them, besides familiarizing themselves what we actually do, they should take a little bit of time to learn their community better. You'd be surprised. Some people, they'll say, oh, you live in the city of Apopka. I go, no, I don't. I live in Orange County. I'm in unincorporated.
Yeah.
And they don't realize the difference. And then like Lockhart, in your case, is unincorporated area. So you really only have me as your commissioner because there is no mayor, no city council. So, you know, in order to prosper and do well and have your needs met in your neighborhood, it's important that you understand where you live and a little bit more about the role that each of these elected officials have.
Well, you carry a lot of responsibility, and I think a lot of people are in that boat where the only time that maybe they try to contact you is when there is some sort of problem or they're dealing with something in their neighborhood or a problem and they've been given the name. But I tell you, one step that they can take is to read the nice brochure that you regularly send out, because that I have found to be very helpful. That's how I heard about you. And I'm so grateful that I'm now getting to talk with you. The person on the line is going to be back with me in a moment. Christine Moore is the District 2 Commissioner in Orange County, and we're going to be back with her in just a moment. This is Afternoons with Mike here on The Shepherd.
You've had this feeling that there has to be more to work than just work. You have a job, but what you really long for is a career, one that makes you feel like you're actually making a difference in the world. At Palm Beach Atlantic University, they understand that your career journey is unique. PBA's Orlando campus offers respected programs with personalized instruction from a Christian worldview that empowers you to realize your goals and career opportunities on your terms. Start your new journey today with Palm Beach Atlantic University Orlando at pba.edu. That's pba.edu. Your degree, your way. pba.edu.
A delightful chat today with Christine Moore. Christine serves us in fine fashion as a commissioner, District 2, serving in the Apopka area, also Orange County and several little communities. And what a delight it is to get to talk to someone who really loves people. And that's very evident, Christine, that you're, after this, really that perfect combination of conviction with your relationship with the Lord and a real heart to serve, which I believe would be something that is the very best of Americanism. The founding fathers had that right in our Constitution, and we have enjoyed for many, many, many years, all these years, that America has been a country, an exceptional understanding of how we can live together and respect one another. And that, sadly, is being challenged on many fronts today. But I know it's really makes me feel good to know that there are people like yourself who are serving us, and you're really wanting to do it the right way.
Well, you know, I think that that's, you mentioned how to be successful, because I'm really, I'm the first female commissioner ever in the state. I'm in the wrong political party for the district.
Yeah,
I could tell you all these things in the natural that you would say she really probably should never have been elected commissioner. But, you know, you're right. If you love people and you serve them and they know that you are there to help them and you're going to be their advocate, you can get over a lot of those other things, you know, like, oh, I don't really care that she's female. I had to really, you know, in politics, it's not all fun and games. You know, I had to battle a little bit some of the older elements that just wouldn't want a woman, you know, and so I can relate to some of these things that go on because I've had to deal with it. But people always say, I always fight all that stuff with kindness. You know, you don't return evil for evil. You remember that vengeance is the Lord's, and you're forgiving, and you can't take things personally. You just can't. Mm-hmm. And so we just keep going. You know, you just keep going, and Lord keeps opening the doors.
Well, that's a great attitude. And, you know, you have to deal with some of the things. Can you describe for a moment what it would be like to have to deal with that kind of vitreous attitudes coming from the news media? I'm sure that is something that was never really fully realized until you're actually in the role. And the things that are either written about you or spoken about you, I'm very sorry. If I could make a general, since I'm part of the media, I'd love to be able to make an effective general apology. I can't do that. All I can say is I'm so sorry for the things that I've had. I know you've had to go through. What kind of an experience has that been for you?
I think the worst time was back in, I guess it was 2016. And, you know, for a season, I would run campaigns because I came from principal approach of education. And, you know, my heart was to see godly people elected to office. So I loved just being behind the scenes and writing mail and strategy and organizing people. So I, well, I was on the school board, so it was a little risky, I suppose, to mm-hmm. be running some campaigns. But, you know, that's always been my heart. And, well, that point, all my campaigns were winning. So the group decided instead of going after the candidates, they were going to go after the campaign manager, which was me. And I found myself on Channel 9 and ethics charges and Sentinel. But it was all because they were trying to get me to quit. So, again, you know, when you read all those Old Testament stories, I just thought politics was the place you could really prove God and see that he meant what he said and you'd be okay.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely been a journey, and I've survived it all.
Now, how did you survive it all? Tell us a little bit about the process that you've gone through and maybe even the process you go through every day right now. How do you get up and put on that full armor of God where you can withstand not only the criticisms like what we've just talked about, but maybe some of the discouraging things that you just have to face and try to work through? How do you do that?
Well, you got to keep good people around you. I have good staff and I have good friends. And sometimes, you know, you have to change. You need to be around people who encourage you and keep you focused and grounded in the things of God and what you need to be doing. You know, I got through that. I actually ultimately had to resign those campaigns because they were going to just keep on and on and on. And it was ridiculous. I had on the school board, I loved his school history. I wanted the children to love their school, and there was a way I could talk about the Lord and things a little bit through art. And so I had done this beautiful, and Lisa Mickler, you might know her family, her husband's a bishop. And so she was my artist, and we would go in with these new schools and do artwork based on history in the school, past, present, future kind mm-hmm. of thing. And so they were coming after me and saying that I had spent $2,500 to do a portrait of myself, which wasn't even close to what, you know, what was done. And at that point, the news media wouldn't even really listen to what I had to say. So you just sometimes you have to let it go. You have to consider the source and know that God knows, and you keep going. You can't let that stuff get you off your call. You mm-hmm. just got to keep going.
That's great advice, and I think it's something that every person who's looking even at the possibility of ever serving as you're doing need to keep this in mind, that it's probably not going to get any better anytime soon. It's probably going to get worse, as my granddad said, before it gets better, and I think that's very possible. What do you see happening right now? What are your hopes for the balance of 2021 as you're working through issues?
There's so much on my plate right now. I realize I'm going to have to focus and really see what the priorities are. You know, you live in Lockhart, and you probably have recognized that I've taken a great liking to that area.
Mm-hmm.
And working on getting the trail and the coast-to-coast trail. I'm being tutored by a wonderful planner about trying to get a downtown. We're doing a small area study to get the land uses in the right place to actually have a downtown through 2050. So that is, you know, really weighing on me. I've also got an opportunity to get the SunRail to come up through Lockhart, Apopka, and Zellwood. And so I was being tutored today by former Congressman John Micah. He had been chair of the Transportation Committee. And so that's the one thing I want to tell your listeners. You never have to be afraid if you don't have all the knowledge, because we never do. And we humbly ask other people for help. And every time I've asked someone to help me, give me advice, come alongside of me, they do.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes me that much more effective at what I get to do. So the other piece that I absolutely love doing and we're developing to a fuller extent is this neighborhood leader. And we meet and we learn material to make our neighborhoods, our areas better. How to serve our neighborhoods in a social way. How to, in a more tangible way, keep the economic viability of a community. Is your infrastructure in good condition? That's where you obviously work with the county. Are your sidewalks right? Do you need LED lights? That sort of thing. And then the sustainability piece. You would be surprised. The adults in my district, we don't recycle very well. In fact, over 90% of the loads end up being rejected and having to go to the landfill. So we'll do education on how to try to properly recycle so that our children and grandchildren don't have half of Orange County being a landfill.
Mm-hmm.
So the work is broad. It's and you can really, when you elect somebody, it's important to listen to what excites them and motivates them, because when you come down here, you really can choose the direction of things that you want to prioritize. The mayor is really into affordable housing, and so we do a whole lot on that issue because that happens to be something that really matters to him. So when we knock on your door, we send you a mail piece. I know people are busy, but it really does matter who they vote for.
Mm-hmm. You're right. We've seen that time and time again. Elections bring consequences. And listening to what's going on, learning about these things through things like your newsletter that you put out. And again, I think you've done an exceptional job of communicating those things. Now, in addition, you're a lover of history and you've written a book about history, right?
I have. It was for children, and I've got another one about Lockhart in the pipeline right now. But it was called Aha Popka, which was the Native American or Indian word for a popka. That's where it came from, which means potato or potato-eating people, because the land was so fertile between Lake Apopka and Wekiva Springs. And I'm real blessed right now. We are putting millions of dollars into Magnolia Park, and I changed the trajectory of that a little bit. Still going to have the bike rental, still have the wonderful dock, and we're having an inclusive playground for special needs children. But we want to do education on being a good steward of our community and taking care of this area. I think Central Florida is so special. I moved here as an adult from upstate New York and via University of Michigan. And I chose to be here. I love this place. So in my work with the book, I divided all of Apopka up and told students about all the fun little places to go visit. And I don't just do history. It could be the spring and why the spring is named a certain thing, or it could be where Amazon is, you know, locating a new warehouse. And today I had some folks with me from Rosemont, and we were touring up and down Clear Kona Coe Road, and I said, do you know about Lake Meadows Naturals in Ocoee? No, never heard of it. I said, really? It is the neatest place. It's agritourism. They have great meat. They have grass-fed cattle, and they have the best cheese. They have a little shop, and they didn't know about it. So I took them down there. And so a lot of times the politicians, if you're going to get elected, you've got to know where everything is. You have to know where every neighborhood is. And that's our job, to promote the best about our communities. And, I think Lockhart itself can be better. And so I'm working on a booklet on the history of Lockhart. And I've been collaborating with one of the oldest families, the Isaacsons. And, Mike, do you know that property right across from where you live on Rundle and Rose, that's all vacant, that's just natural land?
Absolutely. I pass by there every day.
Yeah. Well, that is owned by the Isaacsons, who were one of the original founders that got that 160 acres back in the 1870s. There were six original families in Lockhart, and that family still retains some of their holdings. And so You know, when you learn all these little tidbits, it just makes you be a better citizen.
It's such a beautiful area, a real, like you said, wooded area that's still very natural. And I literally turn left on Rundle off of Rose to cut through every day of my life on my way here to the studio. So, yes, I did not know that. But the whole area, since we lived here the last time, it's been 17 years. It was 17 when we moved back. The whole community of Lockhart looked much better. And there had been, I think, already some steps toward a revitalization of this area. That is very clear to me, because it's a beautiful drive now when you're going down Edgewater and you're going all the way to Rose. You see so many more really marks of revitalization that's happening. So something's being done in the good direction.
And you've seen the mural.
Yes. Absolutely.
That was my first project, and that was my first project as a commissioner in Lockhart. And we used art and art history to bring people together. And so the churches were very involved. Some brought children down to paint. They would pray, support us. The Lockhart Church handled all the concessions and the refreshments for the day when we dedicated the mural. And the businesses all along Edgewater, we have some very successful businesses. They donated all the money so that I could, you know, do what I needed to do to get that mural up. And by the artists being out there all day, people would stop by and share their love of Lockhart and their stories, and they're recorded in the mural. They're going to be coming out in our booklet. And so it was a tool. It was just a tool to try to bring the residents together to revitalize the town.
What a wonderful story. And I had no idea that all of that was going on. Obviously, that was happening when I was gone. But it's very clear to see the changes and the beautification that's gone on in this area. And we're honored to be part of that community. And it is a beautiful development that Cindy and I bought a home in. We're just happy as can be right there. So we're thrilled to be back, and it's really, what an honor. I know you've got another meeting coming up here in a moment, but I just wanted to say, Christine, what an honor to spend this time with you today and to learn about what you're doing and the heart that you're doing that with. And give us the website that people can reach you and learn more about what's going on.
Well, of course, the county's webpage is www.ocfl.net. And since I'm District 2, you would just do /District 2. But I'm also very active, Christine Moore, District 2 Commissioner, on Facebook. And then if someone is interested in being, and you mentioned it several times, our monthly newsletter, we are happy to send it out to you. And if you happen to be a leader in one of these little neighborhoods and you want to join us and work with a very vibrant group, and Mike, we've been blessed to see 150 to 175 people show up at these leaders meetings. So it's going really well.
That's a huge amount.
We'd love to have anyone who would like to join us.
That sounds great. Christine Moore. She is the commissioner, District 2, and thank you, Christine. And we got to have you back up here to the studio at some point. Appreciate your taking the time today to be with us here on The Shepherd.
Thank you for having me, Mike.
God bless you.
Okay, bye-bye.
And friends, I'll be back in a moment with Brother Barry. Don't go away. This is Afternoons with Mike.
Are you looking to make a fresh career start? As Florida's top Christian college, Palm Beach Atlantic University Orlando knows your faith is important to you, and it should be to your school as well. PBA Orlando offers a faith-based experience unlike any other. Whether it's a degree in leadership ministry or counseling, PBA combines biblical concepts from exceptional professors who bring years of real-world experience as leaders in their fields. Call them today at 844-PBA-ORLANDO. That's 844-PBA-ORLANDO. Education for your soul as well as your mind.
Back again here on Afternoons with Mike. It is my joy to welcome Brother Barry Edwards to the program. He is with Cross Life Church and is talking today about VBS, something that is near and dear to my heart. In 2020, many of the programs, if not most of the VBS programs, were canceled because of COVID, the coronavirus, and I know that it was a disappointment to many, and it looks like in 2021, thank God, we're returning to normal in this area. And I've got with me today Brother Barry Edwards from Cross Life. It's great to have you. Thank you for coming in today, sir.
Good to be here.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk about this because I can tell even before we began our program today that you're a guy that, first of all, you love the Lord.
Amen.
Secondly, you love the church.
Yes.
And you love children.
Definitely.
And you take those three things and you put them together. And really, in many ways, we all know that Jesus said, "Suffer the little ones to come unto me, for such is the kingdom." And, you know, that's so true, isn't it?
Amen.
And there's no program that I know of that I think, from the standpoint of being a former pastor, a worker in children's ministry, I don't think there's anything more fun in children's ministry than Vacation Bible School.
Oh, definitely. I mean, there's two programs I live for, and they're summer programs, Vacation Bible School and Kids Camp.
Oh, yeah.
And I like them because I get to spend all my time with kids.
Yeah. Now, tell us a little bit. You're called Brother Barry Edwards. How did you find the Lord to become a brother? How did that happen?
Well, I was actually about 25 years old. I was married, had one child. Things were not going really good in our marriage and in my relationship. I looked for another job because I thought the job was what was causing the problem in our marriage. And God landed me in the middle of a bunch of Christian businessmen, and I was with them, and then out of the blue, a friend called me to ask me to go play tennis with him, a guy that I really looked up to and admired, but who last time I'd seen was really despondent. So I went to play tennis with him, noticed his countenance, his look had changed. So I asked him, I said, what's taking place in your life? What's changed? He told me about Christ, and so right there on the tennis court, I prayed to receive Christ, immediately started going to church, and got involved in a good Bible-believing church where I was discipled, and after about 7 years of serving there, serving in bus ministry with kids.
If someone were to tell you, what's the reason for that? Why do you like it? Why do you believe that that's one of your favorite things in the summer?
Well, during Vacation Bible School, it's an opportunity for the church to really reach out in the community. And parents, they're looking for something for their kids to do. They may not be wanting their kids to get a religious education or find Jesus or anything, but they're looking for activities. So it's an activity that we can reach out in the community with, have kids from other churches that maybe don't teach the gospel or who don't even go to church, and they get to come, and we get to have them all week long, and in a week, 3 hours a day, we get to teach the Bible to them, share Christ with them, and hopefully see some come to know the Lord Jesus.
As an outreach, it has always been proven to be an effective tool in introducing families who don't know the Lord, who are unchurched, to basically be a door opener to the church for those families, isn't it?
Yeah, actually, Vacation Bible School, even with all the changes that's taken place in the church in the last 5-7 years and how we've been trying to find new ways of reaching into the community, Vacation Bible School is still the number one way to reach people for Christ. It's one of those things that just doesn't seem to be threatening to families, you know. They're not worried about, you know, what's going to happen when they step on the church campus because everybody's there just welcoming for the kids to have a good time.
What is the program that you're going to be offering this year?
Well, this year we started last year with the theme Concrete and Cranes. It's a Lifeway production, and we are about halfway through our preparation, decorations, curriculum, teachers doing their planning and everything. When suddenly everything came to a stop, we just had to pack everything up. And we did it with the plan of, okay, when next year comes around, we're just going to pull out this same program that we've already invested so much money in. We're just going to pick it up. And that's where we're at.
That's a great plan because, again, 2020, I think most churches had to forego their Vacation Bible School. Or if they did them, they were not in the same format
Yeah, we did a vacation Bible school virtual.
Yeah.
And I mean, we had about 100 kids involved in it, and it was okay, but it's not vacation Bible school.
It's a far cry from what you're used to doing.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, there's just nothing like the energy of seeing kids come alive with Bible stories and fun and worship and craft making. That's the stuff that I just look back. One of my favorite weeks when I was in ministry in Gainesville at Abundant Grace, we had a team that was so wonderful up there. Served together every year to make it the most creative week we could. And the stage was completely decorated. And there was a wow factor when the kids and the parents, for that matter, when they would walk in and they would see all the decorations, it was like, wow, I'm going to be here a full week.
Yeah, it's one of the most amazing things to me that you take and you have a group of kids, you know, and I think we've got like 425 kids registered so far for this year's VBS, looking on getting maybe another 100, 200 for a good number of kids to be at VBS. So you got this large group of kids. Then you've had these adults, about 200 volunteers, then about 125 youth who come and help us. And on Monday morning, these three groups of people are going to come together, never seen each other before, and they're going to come together, put on Vacation Bible School. And it's amazing how God blesses it, and it just happens, you know. Everybody knows what they're doing. They come. The kids are excited. There's an excitement about it. You know, you have your special days where, you know, maybe you're, like one of our themes is Black and Gray Day. Why? Asphalt and concrete. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So we have special days like that. And then we end the day every day with a rally where we divide the VBS up into red team, blue team, green team. And they're all competing all week long. And the rally is crazy with wild music and lights going every place, kids screaming for their team and everything. And that's the way they leave VBS every day on a high, ready to come back the next day for what's ahead of them the next day.
Now, you were telling me before we began taping about a real crane where a semi-trailer truck started bringing this thing. Tell us about that.
Well, that was when we built our worship center about 10 years ago, and it was a tilt wall construction. So they built the walls on the ground, then this big crane lifted it up, and the first piece that came in of this crane was one of the tracks. And then the other track came in on another semi. The semis rolled in with all the pieces of this crane to put together. And I think about that, though, man, I wish I had that crane for VBS. But we are trying.
Right.
We're trying to get some construction equipment to put on campus to pick up the theme and everything. And it's all about laying the foundation,
right.
Laying the foundation in the lives of boys and girls of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior.
You know, when you think about construction, isn't that a great metaphor for the gospel? Because the Lord is at work constructing us. I mean, he's
Amen.
Made us. We're being made into the image of the Lord. And what an honor to be able to do that with these kids.
Yeah, it is. I on Thursday is the day that I get to share the invitation with the kids. Teachers will share the gospel with them in their classroom on Wednesday. But then Thursday, when we have the actual invitation where they can come forward, we don't pray with them because at that time, but they come forward to make a decision. Then we take them to the building next door, the gym. And that's one of the exciting things to see is see that gym filled with adult counselors sitting with two or three kids,
mm-hmm.
sharing the gospel with them. And, you know, we see somewhere usually each year, somewhere around 50, 75 kids receive Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. That's what it's all about. And that's one of the things that really, really was so hard to accept last year is I thought about all the kids
missing it
who needed to get saved, who didn't get to get saved because COVID shut everything down.
Yeah. Well, we have the promise that God is greater than COVID.
Amen.
So I'm sure that he's going to watch over those and bring those in. And, you know, when you're talking about somebody like yourself, that you've been doing this for over 20 years, you know solid thing that God is in these lives. You've seen some of the kids from the beginning when you started doing this now grow up and serving the Lord.
Oh, yeah. I'm seeing kids now who were in my children's church who have gone off and got married or having kids now. Some of them have gone to, I know one of my guys went to India as a missionary.
Wow.
Some are in ministry or around the countryside. So, you know, yeah, it's been amazing watch kids grow up and how they take the truths and the facts that we laid in their lives early, and they kept true to God's word and now are serving the Lord in different areas.
Are some of the same ones that you worked with early on now part of the team for Vacation Bible School?
Oh, definitely. In fact, like after Vacation Bible School, we have camp, and several of my teen leaders are leading recreation. I have some of my older teen leaders who are actually counselors at camp, and I have a whole bunch of them that will be serving in VBS in about 3-4 weeks.
You know, this issue that you talked about when you first came to the Lord, when you were in that men's group, kind of like hanging around those guys, when you were becoming a Christian, you brought up the importance of discipleship. And that's something that these kids are getting by even by going to the follow-up camp that you have. This thing of speaking into their lives, that's going on, isn't it?
It is. And that's what we need to do. And it's what we want to do is, as we reach out to these kids, our church is also going to be in the process of reaching out to these unchurched families and try to invite them and encourage them to come be a part of our fellowship. A lot of times people, when they look at the church, they have the wrong idea of the church. The devil gives them a wrong idea that, you know, if you don't talk right, if you're not of the right economic stature, or your clothes aren't good enough, you know, that you won't be accepted at church. CrossLife is a church that accepts all people, no matter race, no matter economics. Nobody is not welcome at our church. Our pastor, Dr. Mercer, is a guy who loves all people and wants our church to be a church that reaches all peoples for Jesus, mm-hmm. to make a difference.
And I know we recently had one of your people that dropped by here, and it was exciting to get to talk about CrossLife and to learn the history of this church. It's been around over 100 years,
yeah.
150 years, I think.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, I think 1869 was,
yeah,
when it was founded.
Wow, that's just such a very exciting thing to have that kind of an impact, that kind of residual history, and it's still going on today. Even though, yeah, the name has changed, the mission hasn't, and you're doing a great work. How can people get involved with Vacation Bible School this year at CrossLife?
Well, one of the things I was looking at, and I just want to make sure, because I want to give them the right information here, is that you can go to our website, which is crosslifechurch.com. And then when you go to that main page, there's an events page. You go down to events. When you click on that, you just scroll down till they're in date order. You'll come down to the Vacation Bible School Concrete and Crane site,
mm-hmm.
and there is a link where you click on it to register your children for Vacation Bible School.
Is there a charge for it?
Oh, no. How can you charge to have some? I mean, now I got to tell you, there's a lot of churches nowadays, because it is expensive, and a lot of churches do charge. A lot of churches put caps on their number of kids that they allow. But CrossLife, our pastor is very supportive of our ministry and make sure that we have the budget that we need. So we never charge boys and girls to come. Anybody can come. It's free. And we try to keep it, and it's going to be challenging this year because we're still under some COVID protocols as far as, mm-hmm. size, mm-hmm. of classrooms and everything. But we're going to try the hard as we can to make sure that everybody has a place at Vacation Bible School at CrossLife, and it is no charge.
Brother Barry Edwards from CrossLife, thank you for being here with us today.
Thanks for having me. God bless you.
All right. We'll be back in a moment. This is Afternoons with Mike right here on The Shepherd.
Afternoons with Mike, brought to you by Palm Beach Atlantic University, Orlando.